Hello and welcome to a special episode of the GAR. My name is Lee Costello and I'm delighted to be joined by Tyrone's Ronan McNamee ahead of this year's Darkness Into Light, the annual fundraising event organised by Paeta and supported by Electric Ireland, which takes place on Saturday, May 6th. Enjoy the show. Ronan, how's it going? Big day of media interviews. Are you sick of us yet?
Not too bad yet, Lee. Not too bad.
Well, that's good. Well, this will be the best one anyway, so you can just enjoy it. we had Kyle Coney on the show last week, actually. And so I want to take you kind of back to the start because he happened to bring up the story of your championship debut against Kerry and how you kind of missed most of the season that year through injury. And then biggest game of the year, Mickey Hart comes to you and says, you're marking Paul Galvin. So I want to know what was going through your head when he said that.
God knows. He pulled me into the showers in Clarny. I would say, so what would you come? You'd be there an hour and a half before the game, maybe. So him and Tony Donnelly pulled me into the shower and said to me, I was starting wing back and I was picking up Paul Galvin. To be fair to the Beard, he was known for throwing curveballs a lot of the time when you would least expect them. And was a massive one. It was either, I said it earlier, it was like a sink or swim, and it was, I'm not a good swimmer.
Well, it didn't take you long to get stuck in. I think you got a yellow card before like 20 minutes and you caused a bit of mayhem. But yeah. I think us and Tyrone sort of realised that we've got a real warrior on our hands here. Do you think it's fair to say that you would play with a bit of an edge?
Yeah, I tend to play with a bit of an edge at times. I think that I wouldn't deem myself the most skillful of it. So you gotta find other aspects that will benefit you somewhere. So playing with a bit of an edge, I feel that can obviously there's a fine line between it. But many defender these days would be the same. You look at any of the good teams over the years. They were all the same. The Gormleys, the Races, I'm sure the Dubs over the years, Johnny Cooper, Phil McMahon, every one of them played one edge. So I think you have to have some sort of bite in you, especially when you're putting your neck on the line week on week to get skint. So you gotta find something else, you know.
No, absolutely. And you already mentioned Ricey there and he played alongside you that day in Killarney, I think. Would it be fair to say that there's similarities between you two in terms of that age, like leader, being a leader at the back, the longevity of your careers and keeping a place in the team for so long? I know you're going to say, you know, he's his own person and all that, but would you say you're the closest thing to Ricey in the current Tyrone setup?
I don't know. When I was growing up, that's who you would have been trying to emulate, to be fair. Because there's a high iron blood in him. Mm-hmm. So that's why, like, whenever you'd have been playing cornerback as an under 14 and you'd have been, like, looking at him playing with Tyrone and getting up and maybe scoring a point and, like, screaming at men. And, like, you were saying, you know, it was just the way he played it. Like, a big intimidating look on him. Like, so definitely would have been... Like, he would have been one of my favourite players growing up. Like, so I would maybe take in certain traits from it. As I say, he was a lot, say, even playing against Tramore over the years, the few times that I would have played against him, like, he would have controlled games ridiculously easy while giving plenty of abuse, right? You know, so there's definitely traits that you would like to have picked up, but just... he had mastered himself, you know.
No, for sure. Well, from 2012 onwards, you became a real mainstay in the team. And a lot of people would have been actually envious of your position, you know, being a county star, representing Tyrone, competing for trophies. But in 2016, you struggled with your mental health. And that wasn't really known to those on the outside. Is that one of the most dangerous things about that aspect, that you can conceal it and people don't really know what you're going through, and that the person struggling with it can hide it?
It is. There's definitely it's easy to hide it. I didn't deal with it well, and then like I addressed it because it was do or die time for me at that stage. So like the likes of my teammates wouldn't have, there was a few of them would have known the likes of Danny McBride and them boys like Kevin Geller and that would have been traveling up the road with me from Strabán or from Newton or from, you know, the west of Tyrone. Like they would have known, because I remember Danny was supposed to come, like I had stopped going to training for maybe say 3 or 4 sessions, and I hadn't said why I wasn't going. The Beard knew, like we call Mickey Hart the Beard, like, so just in case you're wondering who the Beard was, like he knew that I was struggling. And I remember him, he was ringing me and I wasn't answering him. I remember looking at my phone and just not answering him, like, because I just thought I was gonna like start crying because I didn't know where I was at or what I wanted, and like I was just in a completely awkward position and in a sticky spot, like, and I didn't know how to address it right. So like I was planning on leaving the panel, because I felt that if I left the country you were leaving your problems behind, whereas obviously you were never going to do that, like you're going to be taking them with you wherever you went. So but seeing it that way, I can see it that way now, but did I see it that way at the time? Obviously not. Like I just wanted to get out of High Iron and out of the way, because I felt that it was just a burden on everybody else. And only for the likes of Danny McBride, I remember him ringing or text me saying, I'll lift you in the morning for training, because he knew I wasn't going to go. And I was like, right, no problem. So I had it in my head to get up and be away from the house before he would ring me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to say he was on his way so that he couldn't get me. Mm-hmm. And that's what I done, like, and I ended up just driving for a couple of hours down to Donegal to my cousin's house and just stayed there. Didn't say anything. She knew that something wasn't up, or something was up that wasn't right. But I just remember, like, she lives down in Dunfanaghy in Fulcara direction. So I just remember Mickey Hart ringing me and me looking at, like, I have a vague memory in my phone or in my head. A really good memory in my head of it, of me looking at my phone in her garden. You know, there's certain things that I'll never leave you, and that was one of them. Because, and he left me a voice recording, and it was like, give me a shout back. I don't want you to come to training. I just want you to surround yourself with the good people that's up here. And it wasn't a case of getting back to football. It was just being surrounded with positive people. That's what he was trying to get across. And like he never pressed me to go back to training or to train. It was just come up and be here. You know, the boys will be glad to see you. And like when I did go back up, like it was probably a massive part in it that helping me heal was the boys that were, you know, good to see you back and hope you're all right and stuff like that, you know. So definitely like being up a throne, like I wouldn't be here. Like I wouldn't be alive if I hadn't have stayed with Tyrone. And I know that in my own head. It's easy saying it, but I do know that in my own head that where I was at, I was not gonna recover well if I had left. Like all I ever wanted to do was play football for Tyrone, like, and ultimately it would have been over very quickly if I had made a decision like that, you know.
No, absolutely. And like you talked there about Mickey Hart, you know, calling you and putting you sort of first rather than just the team, in terms of like his priorities wasn't just getting you back because he really wanted you as a footballer. You know, he wanted to make sure that you were okay. Like what do you think, maybe you don't think this, but as a Tyrone fan and just hearing other people, attitudes towards Mickey in some aspects of the fan base, you know, changed. They thought it got a bit stale and they were maybe very harsh towards him. But hearing stories like that really brings home that he was much more than just a manager, you know. Do you think that's fair to say that, like, he had such a bigger impact than just football?
Oh, for me, definitely. And from, I know for loads of families around Tyrone as well. Like, a friend of mine was killed in a car accident Gemma McHale, and years ago now, it would be 2012, I think it was, when she was killed. And like, he come down and met with the parents and stuff, you know, like, mm-hmm. and like helped them see ways through what helped his family get through the likes of the death of McKayla, you know. So, and he was doing that. He was doing it all the time, like, you know, off his own back, just going. Like, he was just, he's a genuine fella, like, and it sounds probably cringy as hell, but he's a great man, like, and I'd be really pally with son Michael, like. And I remember an uncle of mine passed, and like, he landed to the wake at about down in a high iron, maybe after training, at like 11:20. Like, my old boy, it was my old boy's brother, and he couldn't believe it. Like, he couldn't believe that Mickey Hart had come out of his way mm-hmm. to go to a wake, and it was nothing to him, but it was it was massive what it done to our ones, you know. So mm-hmm. like, there, that probably seems like nothing to him, but what it does to other people is priceless, you know.
No, of course. And then thankfully, you obviously, you know, you did make it through that really dark period with the help of the Tyrone players and your friends and family and Mickey Hart, and you made, you know, the end of the Holy Grail in 2021. You won the All-Ireland that season. What was that year like? Because given the Dublin six in a row and everything, you know, nobody really expected Tyrone to be lifting Sam Maguire that year.
Hi. You're always, there's times that you'd be sitting and you go through your phone from them lock of weeks, you know, just at pictures and videos and stuff, because it's priceless memories. Like, the best days of your life, to be sure, mm-hmm. for sure, you know, because you had been trying for so long. And like, we had been so close on numerous occasions, and it, like, you always think in your head, if Dublin weren't as strong as they were over them 7-8 years, could you have had more? You probably mm-hmm. could have, you know, you'd have had more, like, the likes of from 2013 on. Like, Tyrone lost All-Ireland semi-final 2013. They lost All-Ireland semi-final 2015, quarter-final 16, semi-final 17, lost the final in 18, semi-final 19, mm-hmm. and 2020 was COVID.
Yeah.
So, like, it sort of was that went belly up, but there was 4 or 5 semi-finals and a final that you lost before you won one. So, like, there was definitely chances there that you probably potentially passed up in a way. And obviously, with the strength of the Dubs at that time, didn't help matters. But like, you knew there was something there. Like, I still know there's something there. So. Hence the reason, like, every county would be the same, but you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't think you had a chance of being successful, you know. Mm-hmm. And like, it's for the boys that play it, like, you won All Ireland and it's great, but see what you see away from it, like, yeah. what came after, regards to going around the schools and families and sick people in your parish, is unexplainable. Like, I mean, unexplainable. And there's the aspect of that, what it can do to somebody, you know, that might be stuck on, like, regards to this campaign, the Darkness and Delay campaign, some person is struggling to get out of bed in the morning, you know, see the likes of what you do on the field and what joy it can bring to people. It's frightening, you know.
Yeah, no, it is. And it was an incredible feat by an incredible team. But just to turn it a little bit negative, because there's no getting away from that, the following year was obviously really, really disappointing. And, you know, there's loads of speculation that it was like the team holiday was too long. A group of players left the panel, obviously. There was a hangover maybe from the year before. But all of that was just sort of hearsay from those on the outside looking in. So I do want to ask someone who is, you know, horse's mouth, someone on the inside, now that it's done and they've moved away from it, what do you think went wrong 2022?
I think we were chasing a bit at the start, but it wasn't a case for the want of trying. Like, think sometimes you try, the harder you try, the worse it gets in some scenarios. But like, we had been chasing for so long, you know, teams with targets on their back. You were like, any day you went to play the Dubs, you were gung-ho going out to beat them. Any day you went to play Kerry, gung-ho going out to beat them. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the target's on your back, and it's different. It's completely different to deal with. And like, I think every team struggles to deal with it the first time round. Like, if you look at the Dubs before they'd done 6 in a row, like 2011, they won it. Yeah. And 2012, they lost it. You know, like, they probably learned from it after that. Mm-hmm. on certain aspects. And I think every team would be the same. Like, if we were lucky enough to win it again, do I think we would address things differently, or would you mentally be in a better place? Of course you would, you know. But ultimately, last year was massively disappointing, like, because you wanted to back up your All-Ireland campaign with another one, because no Tyrone team had ever done it. And were you working as hard? You were, but as I say, the gap was closing in regards to teams around you. Mm-hmm. The likes of, like, we lost to Derry went on to win Ulster, beating All-Ireland semi-final with the skin of their teeth. Armagh beat us, like, went on to quarter-final, beating penalties. So, like, mm-hmm. we were beat by two good teams, and we were probably, at regards to performance-wise, you were at about 50%. And why were you at 50%? I don't know. Like, boys weren't going out and purposefully being like that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, the bounce of the ball happened for the previous year, and then the bounce of the ball didn't. So, yeah. there's loads of aspects that you could look at it, but it's ultimately very disappointing. But here, we hopefully can learn from it. But we haven't really implemented it the way we wanted this year either, but I think we're better off. Like, the regards to the boys that left the panel, like, there was a lot of boys that left massive characters, like, in the changing room. See, like, it's not even the football in the building. I think the young lads that came in, the football in the building, and them's frightening. Like, I think Tyrone's arguably the same, or if not in a better place than where they were in 2021, but the people that you lost regards to characters was huge, because they're mm-hmm. there 5, 6, 7 years more, you know, so you can't, it's not something you can buy in the shop and drink it, that you just yeah. go in with experience. You gotta learn. And like, from my debut in 2012, like, to winning something that went from 2012 to 2016 before you initially found that team coming through. So hopefully with the likes of these young boys that come in, that are coming off the back on their 20 success and minor success, they'll bring plenty to it and mm-hmm. push their own on, you know, because there's a lot of talent within the county.
No, there's no doubt about that. You did sort of seem to turn a corner in the league with that Kerry game. You know, since then, Tyrone look a lot more like Tyrone. You know, the team that I grew up sort of watching and expecting. You missed a lot of the league. Was that through injury?
I had a bit of bother, having a bit of bother on my hips over the years, but early age and mileage, I'd have about 300,000 miles on me if it was a car. But I was just tailoring it, being sort of not getting too much into it, that you're going to blow up or overtrain or, you know, fatigue midway through the league whenever there was far more football to be played elsewhere. So I was just tapering it back in. I was probably ready for the Galway game, and I hurt my back that week in the gym. So that was another wee thing. So it was just, whenever you were ready, you were just picking up wee physio things in on top of it. But ultimately had been ready and training from the Galway game. So mm-hmm. got back in against Armagh, and then obviously Monaghan. So regards to the other games in the league, I think, like, looking in at results, if you didn't delve into the games, looking at results, the Roscommon and Mayo and Galway game, you just deem as bit out the gate on all occasions. But you weren't. There were so many aspects of them games that were in your control and could have been a different story. So I think that the fellas that were playing knew that the result could have painted a picture that wasn't necessarily the whole story. As an example, the Roscommon game, we had a free to bring it to within a point with 2 minutes left, and we missed it. And Roscommon went long with a kick out, caught us on the counter because we had squeezed the kick out to try and get the ball back and scored a goal. So from closing the game into 1 point to losing by five within the space of 30 seconds, and McCurry had the ball in the net before he had the ball in his hands at a stage in that game. So Galway was the same, so there's definitely aspects there that you knew from inside that they weren't as bad as they were being portrayed on the outside, but that's always the case. You can't listen to noise at times. So if you have your own house in order, and which we do, all going forward, hopefully it'll just keep improving, all being well.
Mm-hmm. And you did come back for the Armagh game and played really well, scored 2 points. And then in the championship against Monaghan, you were tasked with marking Conor McManus. Now, I found this really interesting because between RTE and BBC, those outside of Tyrone, so I think it was Paul Flynn and Philippe McMahon, thought Paddy Hamsey would be marking Conor McManus. But those from Tyrone, so Peter Canavan and Mickey Hart, thought you would be marking Conor McManus. And I'm from Tyrone, and I just assumed that as well without knowing anything on the inside. Do you think that comes from outside of the county? You're maybe underappreciated or go under the radar a little bit. They don't seem to know, because you didn't get that All-Star in 2021. I know you got one in 2019, but you were fully deserving of one in 2021. And I don't know, they just don't seem to pick up on you. Do you feel like you go under the radar a little?
It's not something that I've ever really thought of. It's not, I'm doing media now, but it's not something that I would ever really be paying a wide lot of attention to, or reading up on. I can't say I got an All Star, so I can't say that it was a case that I've been hard done by in certain cases. Maybe not, but I've never really delved outside it. To be fair, I've been asked to mark people over the years. I've marked McManus. My first time marking him was 2014, in the championship and Clonus, and I marked him in 2015 All Ireland quarter final. Marked him 2018 Ulster Championship, marked them in the league numerous times. So it's not a case that it was a surprise to me or because I had marked them, but it was likely deemed that Jack McCarron was more dangerous going on form. So hence the reason why Paddy would have been put on McCarron. But either or, I think the two of us, regardless of who you're asked to mark, you just get on with it in a way, because no job's necessarily too easy nowadays, and ultimately you got to be able to take the rough with the smooth, especially when you're in there. So you can't be easily offended, because you have to think a wee bit differently in there. So I feel that hence the likes of that, the Beard would have known that he has asked me to mark him a few times and done reasonably well at times. So I would say that's why he maybe suggested. But regardless of the other lads, you're probably deeming it because Paddy had played more league time and had picked up his form. Was really high going into that game. So if looking in from the outside, if I was looking at a player being more dangerous, I would have been thinking that Hamsey would have been picking him up, So
Well, thinking on it. You'll be delighted to know that Sports Joe team, we do a team of the year, and in 2021 you made mine, so that's the biggest honor you can get. One more question, we're going to go into a quick fire round if that's okay with you. And it's actually on Mickey Hart, or Beard as you call him. He's doing obviously an amazing job with Louth into the semi-final of the Leinster Championship, and there's actually potentially a chance that Tyrone could meet them in this sort of pot of four championship or even later depending on what goes on. What would it be like coming up against a Mickey Hart team for a change?
It would probably be a strange enough scenario. He would have managed. We used to have in-house games and stuff, and he would have taken one team, and Horst would have taken another. So he always would have. It would have been ways, not obviously not to the same extent, but he would have been managing you or managing against you at certain times. But I think, you know, the way Murphy's Law is, it wouldn't surprise me if Throne and Louth played this year. To be fair, because some things are just happen and meant to be at times, and whether both parties like it or not, I think everybody else in the county would be rubbing their hands at it. Like,
no, absolutely. Would you be up for doing a quick fire round to finish off?
Yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah.
Favorite sport to watch outside of the GA?
MMA.
MMA, good stuff.
Aye.
Everyone just says soccer. So my next question was, who do you support soccer wise? Because I just assumed.
I'm a Liverpool fan, a Celtic fan.
Good man. That's it. Yeah, I'm one of my own. Which Tyrone player was your hero growing up?
Ricey.
Ricey. Good. See, I spotted that. your favorite series on Netflix is?
Dread to Survive.
Yeah, brilliant. You obviously have a lot of tattoos. Do you have a favorite?
My first tattoo, it has my mum's handwriting. I don't know if you can see it, but it's in here. And it's in Irish, and it means not all who wander are lost. So that's my first and my favorite, yeah.
Fantastic. Sweeper keepers, yay or nay?
Yay. All day.
Yeah, I have to say it. Who do you think is the best player in Tyrone, not in the county team? So maybe someone up and coming or just isn't involved with it?
Oh, God.
It is a tough one.
Yeah. There's, from my own club, probably at the minute, like Sir Ronan McHugh, he was in the panel at a stage, but he was riddled with injuries when he was in the panel and just was unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
When he was in, but him from one club, and maybe say there's a fella, Tony Devine, would play with Owen Rose, plays midfield, probably as good a midfielder as there is in the playing in Tyrone club football. Obviously Tyrone's midfield's ridiculously strong, so it's unfortunate for him, but he's quality.
Brilliant. And then very last question, can Tyrone win the All-Ireland this year?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Definitely. Definitely.
That's what I wanted to hear. Ronan, thank you so much for doing this. I probably took you on longer than I should have had you, but sometimes when you got a great interview, you got to just run with it.
No worries, man. No problem.
Thanks so much to Ronan for coming on to the show. Remember, over 100,000 people will come together across 200 locations on the most important sunrise of the year as communities across Ireland rally to bring hope to those who've been impacted by suicide. To sign up to this year's event, please visit www.darknessintolight.ie. Also remember to tune in to Monday's episode where we had Jamie Clark in studio and an exclusive interview with David Clifford. Remember to like, share, subscribe, and we'll see you next week.